Because last week, I said that we would be picking up in James this week. And it wasn't that I lied, it's just I switched gears midweek. And I was all ready to do James this morning. And I thought, you know, Duke did a really great job last week. I asked Duke, I said, Duke, here's what I want you to do. I want you to come and I want you to challenge the people for 2026. And I thought he did a great job with that. And then as I was processing last week's sermon and then this week and what I wanted to do, and I thought, you know what? We challenged you, those who are willing to get out of their comfort zone and be bold for Jesus, stand up. And you guys did, and many of you did that. The rest of you need prayer. And so at any rate, I think it was Thursday. No, it was Wednesday. It had been New Year's Day. It was Thursday because it was New Year's Day. Thursday was New Year's Day. Amen. Everybody's like, I don't know now. You raise an interesting question. Was Christmas on Thursday? Okay, so New Year's was on Thursday. All right, just to help catch you up. Don't get me doubting. Oh my goodness, then we'll all be a train wreck. And so it was Thursday, and I was on my way home. And Thursday was a busy day for me. I got home. It was probably about 6 o'clock at night, 7 o'clock, something like that. And as I'm driving home, I just got hit with Psalm 23. I will fear no evil. And I thought, if we're going to be challenged to be bold for Jesus, if we're going to be challenged to stand up for Jesus in 2026, if we're going to be challenged to get out of our comfort zone, then we need an encouraging word to be reminded of who God is so that we are more willing to be bold and to get out of our comfort zone knowing who God is in those situations. Amen? So I thought what I would do is cover Psalm chapter 23 and just walk through that as an encouragement to you and me for this year, because I think we all need encouraged. And I'll tell you this, for those of you who don't know, I don't sleep. So I study and everything. And then which leads me down these rabbit holes that some people will go, oh, Pastor, you're a conspiracy theorist. And which I would agree if it all didn't come true. And then I would say yes, but now I'm just a truth teller. And so I was listening to this video and it's this new thing going around. How many have Alexa? Everybody's like, I don't know where he's going. I ain't raising my hand. Just to get, like, there's no setup here. How many have Alexa? There you go. Okay. They're like, okay, I'll do it. I don't have Alexa, mainly because she's nosy. And I turned Siri off because she's nosy too, right? And so at any rate, I had this video sent to me that Alexa, according to Alexa, don't try it sitting here, wait until you go home. But according to Alexa, there will be no Christmas of 2025 was the last Christmas America will experience. Oh, now I got your attention. They're like, conspiracy or not, go on. I want to hear this. What was interesting, it's like, okay, Alexa, watch it. Come on. It's like, no, I'm kidding. Okay, Alexa, how many days? And people are taking notes. I love it. You won't take notes on the word of God, but you're going to take it on Alexa. All right. let's pray. No, I'm kidding. So it's like, Alexa, how many days before Valentine's Day? And then Alexa answers. And then, okay, how many days Easter, Valentine's Day, or Valentine's Day, Easter, Thanksgiving. And then Alexa's giving all these answers of how many days up to each one of these, is how many days to Easter of 2026? How many days to the holiday Thanksgiving of 2026? And Alexa's just spouting off the days. And then it says, okay, how many days before the holiday of Christmas of 2026? And Alexa says, I have no record of that. Yeah, right? That's what I said. What? Who said what? There, right? I'm like, this is interesting. So it caused me to dive deeper. Because just like you, you're all like, I got to try this when I get home. How many are going to try this when you get home with Alexa? Right? The rest of you are liars. You're going to go home, you're going to be like, Alexa, all right, let's start with Easter. No, I can't wait. Christmas. So anyway, I started investigating all this, right? And so according to Alexa, but you know, Alexa could be liar too. I don't know. According to Alexa, 2025 was our last Christmas in America. And I thought, that's just really interesting. And then if you ask Siri, Siri's not as bold as Alexa. So she's like, I found this. Look it up. Come to your own conclusion. I'm not like Alexa. I stand room for people to still like me. And so it's like people, isn't it? So you know people program these things. Anyway, so as I was going through all of that, and I thought, you know, what would happen if that were true? What would happen if 2025 Christmas was the last Christmas America experienced? And I'm not trying to scare anyone or not like that. I mean, listen, to me, this is all things that make you say, that's all it is to me, right? I never take any of it serious until I start seeing it unfold. But I thought to myself, what if Alexa was right? And a series weak, and you know, it's like she won't admit it. What would we do? And I challenged last week, the challenge was to get out of your comfort zone. Who is willing to get out of their comfort zone? And with the question that I just posed you, what if 25 was the last Christmas America experienced? What would you be willing to do if I said that's when Jesus is going to return? For us, or for those that know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, this is wonderful. I'm like, Lord, you could come right now. I'm ready. I'm ready to go to heaven. I'm ready to be with my Lord and Savior. I'm ready to celebrate no sin. I'm ready to have a new body because this one is deteriorating. I am ready to have new strength because this old body is deteriorating. And I mean, I'm ready for all the blessings and all the promises of God. I'm ready. This is going to sound so crazy. But one of the, other than seeing Jesus, I am, this really sounds crazy. Other than seeing Jesus, one of my greatest expectations is to taste real fruit again. Like a real peach. Remember when you were a kid? Okay, some of you, it doesn't count. But when you get my age and older, man, I remember I'd go out and I'd pull a peach off the tree, or because I lived in, I'm from originally from Ohio, Southern Ohio. And man, we'd go out and get these apples and you'd bite an apple and there's like juice everywhere. Or you get a peach and you could smell the peaches, man. Like you could just, they have this overwhelming smell. And then you take a big bite of it and juice would run all down your face and you go right and get it all because you didn't care. And I mean, you could taste the peach. You could smell the peach. You know, you don't even smell peaches anymore. You got them. They don't smell like peaches unless I'm just going to the wrong place. They don't smell like peaches. And oranges, man, you could peel an orange back and you could taste the orange and the juice would flow and the smell of the orange would just overwhelm the room. And you're like, oh, this is so good. Can you imagine what it's going to be like in the millennial reign of Jesus? And when we get to heaven, what real fruit is going to taste like? Oh, I'm sitting under a tree and I'm just going to, I'm just telling you, it's going to be a wonderful thing. And so knowing that I am going there, knowing that I'm going to experience all of that, what about those that aren't? What about those that you know, that you love, that you're friends with or your family with? What about those people who are not going to experience this? If Christmas, if Alexa is right, and this is a 25 was our last Christmas in America, and there's no record of Christmas. You can ask her 2026, no record of it, 27, 28, 29. There's no record from Christmas from 25 on. It's just, from 26 on, there's no record according to Alexa. Alexis. It's Alexis, isn't it? Is it Alexa or Alexis? Alexa. So I had it right. Okay, good. I should have figured, because none of you were like, hey, you got it wrong. Yeah, because you didn't see you talking to one another. And what if, though? What if that's true? I'm not saying it is. I have no clue. But what if Alexa is right? Then that, I'm not asking you to talk. Hold on. What if Alexa is right? And there's no more holiday of Christmas. Then that means this. That means they're removing Jesus too. You can't take away Christmas without taking away Jesus. You just can't do it. Now, if Christmas is taken away, now we're going to silence everybody about Jesus. And are you going to be punished? Are you going to get in trouble if you speak of Jesus? Now, you're really going to be afraid if that's the case. What are you going to do with your loved ones that don't know? Because if you're fearful now, what's going to happen the day you can't talk about Jesus? And by the way, it's happening. I don't know if you know, but over in UK, London, England, all that, I think that's where it's at. But you will now be arrested if they think you're praying. If they think you are praying, if you're, look it up, not now, wait until you leave. But if, because there was a lady, I watched a video, there was a lady standing outside of an abortion clinic, and she was just standing there and minding her own business, and she had her eyes closed, and the police came up and arrested her for silent prayer, because you're not allowed to do that. It's an offense. Do you not think this isn't coming to America? Think about this just for a second. There's now a Muslim mayor in office in New York City. Do you not think that a little yeast leavens the whole loaf, that is just like a yeast in a loaf of bread, that is not going to somehow wander its way up this direction? Do you not think that we're not going to experience? They hate Jesus. They hate Christians. As a matter of fact, they're called to kill Christians because we're infidels. Do you not think that that's not going to permeate through our society and our states? And some of you are like, well, Pastor, you know, we don't want politics in the pulpit. If you don't want to hear about politics, you're not going to like me. And I'm just going to tell you why. Because politics dictates society. Society dictates the church. It never used to be that way. And so I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm just simply telling you that who got voted in, if you don't think for a minute that he is not poison and that he is not going to destroy New York City and that junk isn't going to waft its way up here because people are going to get out, they're going to start moving, and they're going to want what they had in New York City up here, because New York City is nothing but a welfare city. That's all it is. Well, that's all New York State is. Do you not think that this isn't coming to America and to a theater near you? And so as I was processing all of that this week, and I thought, we need to be reminded of who we serve, the God we serve, the Lord who strengthens us, the Lord who walks with us, the Lord who encourages us, the Lord who feeds us and waters us and nurtures us. We need to be reminded who that God is. And that's why I went to Psalm 23. So I'm done depressing you. I figured I'd just get that up front and get it out of the way. Amen. Now I want to encourage you, because this is what we need. I just gave you some of the reasons, like, and I say some, I'm talking like a pinhead of the needle, the tip of the needle reasons, because this country is slowly, not slowly anymore, it's quickly leaving God and the things of God. And a strong church is going to be even harder than what it is now to find. Because if you have a weak church now, what do you think is going to happen to it when pressure really comes on? They're going to dissipate. They're going to evaporate like water in the desert. If they don't have the courage to stand strong now, they're not going to stand strong when the storms come. And so 2026, what's it going to look like? I have no clue. But here's what I do know. That the God I serve, the God of the Bible, he doesn't change. And so we can get an idea and be reminded of who he is, even if those storms do come this way. Okay? All right, so Psalm 23, 1 through 6. If you'll pull that up, we're going to read it. And I think that I just thought this was the best passage that you can find for the promises of God. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How about this? Everyone stand up. Everyone stand. We're going to read this together. We're going to read the Word of God together. And if you can't read, just say watermelon under your breath and it looks like your lips are moving. Nobody will know the difference. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Let's pray. Oh, sorry. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for these promises. Thank you for the encouragement that we get. Father, thank you for reminding us who you are. And Father, thank you for loving us enough to rescue us, to come and be with us, to walk with us, to take care of us, to supply our every need. And so, Lord, as we look into your word, may it be a comfort and a reminder, Father, that we are not alone. Even though Satan may make us feel like it sometimes, and even though the world around us will make us feel like we're aliens, but Father, you have a home for us, and you love us, and Father, you will take care of us. Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So the psalmist here, he figures it out, right? And the psalmist is David. David is the one who wrote this psalm. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And when you look at David, David was a shepherd. And a lot of kings, which is, I find ironic because when you think of a shepherd, or when they would think of a shepherd back then, they thought of a uneducated, lowly, dirty person out in the field with sheep. And if you've ever been around sheep, when they get dirty, they do smell. And of course, shepherds would smell because they're out in the field for days on end. And yet, even kings would look at themselves as shepherds, because even though they were looked down on in society, you have to think about what they did. A shepherd took care of his flock. A shepherd fed his flock, watered his flock, protected his flock by day, by night. A shepherd would put himself between his flock and any danger coming. A shepherd was prepared to kill the bear, to kill the lion, to kill the wolf, to kill anything that came in, because nothing could touch his flock. That's what a shepherd does, and that's what a shepherd did back then. And that's when David, the King David, who wrote this, and he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. My shepherd is going to take care of me. Do you realize that if this, no offense, but we're considered to be sheep in the Bible, right? Or like sheep, yes? Okay, so now you all agree with this, you're not going to appreciate it. But, you know, a sheep, they're so dumb. I figured someone would say, how dumb are they? Anyway, they're so dumb that you can put the sheep here and you can have a knoll like that and water on the other side, and the sheep literally will die without water because they can't find the water just over the knoll. And you go, really? Really? Sheep are really not intelligent. And they'll follow the leader right off the cliff. And that's how we are when it comes to living in the world versus living for God. If we don't follow our shepherd, we're not intelligent. And I say we're all included. What I mean by that is because we're going to make really poor decisions that really don't help us. As a matter of fact, they usually bring harm to us, or they bring debt to us, meaning that we got to pay for the things that we've done somehow, some way. But when we have a shepherd, as we see God is our shepherd, and David is saying, the Lord's my shepherd, I'm not going to want. He's going to supply my every need. He's going to take care of me. And I'm in awe of what a shepherd does. Matter of fact, Isaiah 40 verse 11 talks about the Messiah coming as a shepherd. Look here, it says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd, meaning that he's going to take care of them. He's going to nurture them and make sure they're nourished and got what they need. He will gather the lambs with his arms. There's an intimacy here, right? It's not with a stick going, get over, or a dog like they use today to round up the sheep. No. He's going to do it with his arms, which shows his loving, caring tenderness. And he's going to carry them in his bosom. This is a relationship. This is a closeness. This is our Messiah. This is the one that Isaiah said is coming. And this is the one that David says, the Lord is my shepherd. This is what it looks like. And gently lead those who are with young. Gently lead those who need that little extra attention because they have more that's depending on them and more that could distract them, or more that they have, the ones with young have to give their attention more attention, their young more attention. And he's like, I'll gently lead those. This is the Messiah that we're talking about. And David is referencing from Isaiah. Guys, I'm just going to tell you, God is so good and he protects us. And so last week when you were challenged to be uncomfortable for God, you're not alone. This is the God who is with you, who is holding you, who is feeding you and strengthening you and encouraging you. And he's there with you every step of the way. And even if Alexa is right, it doesn't matter, because we have a God who is bigger than anything in this world. This is the God that David's talking about, the shepherd. And I thought, oh my goodness, man, what a beautiful picture that we see from Isaiah. And then in John, Jesus identified himself as the good shepherd in John 10, 14. Look here, I am the good shepherd. And if you remember when Jesus was talking to the rich young ruler, I think it was, or I can't remember now, for some reason escaped my brain, but they go, good teacher. And it might've been John 3. At any rate, good teacher. And Jesus says, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. So now if we look at that, we look, I am the God shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep. This is Jesus saying, I know my sheep and am known by my own. I'm the God shepherd. I'm the good shepherd, meaning that there's no bad, no evil. And so you can trust me and you can hold on to me, and you know that I'm going to feed you and take care of you, and I am going to supply your every need. You're going to have, listen, there's nothing that you need that I won't make sure that you have. As a matter of fact, and I don't have the scripture, so don't worry about it, but in Matthew 6:33, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so there's this contingency that if you seek God and his righteousness, meaning that you're going to live righteous. If you go back to verse 25 of chapter 6, Matthew, it says that what all those needs are. And he's like, I'll supply your every need. Need, not want, not desire, but I will supply your every need. And so we're not going to be without. Why? Well, because he's our good shepherd and he's going to take care of us. And then in Hebrews 13:20, he's known as the great shepherd. It says, now may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, the great shepherd. There is none bigger, none greater, none more holy, more righteous, more protective, more giving, more discerning, more wise. There's none. So when we talk about the great shepherd, this is a God who will not leave us or forsake us. This is a God who will supply our every need. And then in 1 Peter 5:4, look here, He is the chief shepherd. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So now we have this great promise that if we are a child of his and we live in him and we have this relationship through Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, look at this, we are going to receive a crown of glory. And that's great. But the greatest part of this is our chief shepherd is in control and it will never fade away, which means it's a forever thing. It's eternal. Life can't offer you eternity and nothing on earth can offer us eternity. But our chief shepherd gives us eternal security, eternal promise, eternal gifts, eternal, you name it. God is so good. And so when David references the Lord is my shepherd, Yahweh is my shepherd, and he says, I shall not want, we have to understand who our shepherd is. Amen. And how great our shepherd is. Otherwise, we get lost and it's like, okay, yeah, Jesus is a shepherd. No, he's way more than that. And that's why we can be bold. That's why we can stand in the face of our enemies and fear no evil. That's why we can shout from the rooftops, Jesus is Lord, and not be afraid. How many days in a year are there? 365. Can you guess how many times the Bible says, fear not, do not be afraid? 365. Isn't that amazing? Do you think that's a coincidence, a coinkydink, or do you think that was on purpose? I think it was on purpose. Don't be afraid. Fear not. The chief shepherd has us. And if we understand that the shepherd protects us and keeps evil out of and away from consuming his sheep, then we miss who our chief shepherd is and how great he is. And because the Lord was David's shepherd, his needs were met. The first blessing I want to look at in this, the first blessing that David experienced was spiritual nourishment. And that's in verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And so the shepherd leads the sheep to fresh grass for feeding. And that's what God does for us. And the one who follows Jesus will never lack spiritual nourishment. Now, did I put this one up for the soul? Is that the next? If not, don't worry about it. So our spiritual nourishment for our soul is the Word of God. He gives us the Word of God. Look here in Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, now he's talking about those that and some of you, you're sitting here today. This would be a direct toward you. It says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, meaning that you've been saved long enough, you've known Jesus long enough, you've had the Word of God or access to the Word of God, but you weren't interested in it. You weren't interested in growing and maturing and understand, and that's why you still doubt God, question God, and that's why you're still fearful and you're not trusting God 100%. Because you should be teachers, meaning your maturity level in the Word and in God should be up here, but you need someone to teach you again the first principles. Oh my goodness, we got to go back to the basics of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. And so guess what? You are back on the bottle. You need milk because you're not spiritually mature enough to walk without fear because you're not close enough to God because you haven't grown. Listen, I'm telling you, you know, if you go into the gym, you typically go to the gym to keep your muscles strong so you have good balance and you can function in life and not be weak about it. And that strength brings a confidence. We get into the Word of God so that we mature and we grow so we're strong. So when someone has a question, they can answer it. What kind of pastor would I be, or any pastor be, any shepherd be, if he couldn't take care of his sheep, or if he couldn't provide for a sheep, or if he couldn't answer the questions that come up? you guys wouldn't think too much of me if I didn't know the word of God and I just got up here and shared stories and made you feel good. The majority of you are here, you have to be this reason, because I'm not a storyteller. I'm not a good storyteller. I only have two crayons in my coloring box. They're black and white. And so many of you are here, and you've even come here. You've told me. I'm like, hey, so what brought you here? I want to hear truth. I've listened to you online, and I'm like, and you still came? God bless you. I want to hear truth. I'm tired of the fluff. I'm tired of all the frillies. I'm tired of the smoke machines and the lights and the dramatization and the shows. I'm tired of it. I just want to hear the word of God. I just want to be fed. I want to be fed. And that's why the majority of you are here. And I'm just going to tell you, as a pastor, that's what I do. I'm not creative at all. I promise you, my creativity level is, well, the two crayons. I mean, but here, most people are here and fearful because you've not grown in God, because you don't know the Word of God. And the Word of God is our strength, and it is our guide, it is our direction. The Word of God is everything we need, because what happens when we consume the Word of God, we're consuming the things of God, which is gaining understanding and a spiritual maturity and a strength, because the more you know God, the less you question God, and the less you question God, the closer you are to Him, and the closer you are to Him, the more protection you have from Him. And you know that, and you rest in Him. You rest in Him, in His arms, in His bosom. Remember the last verse. See, many people, you live fearful and in anxiety, and you have these other issues. And you may know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you don't have that personal intimacy with Him. See, many of us, we have dads, we have a father, but many of us don't know Him, or know little of Him, or He's not been around, or He wasn't a good father. And so, it's like, yeah, so I know who He is, but you don't have that intimate relationship with Him. You're not sure you can trust Him. And that same mentality carries over to our Father God and our Savior Jesus when we don't know Him. I know God will take care of me, but... Well, you just negated the first part of what you said. I know God will take care of me, but there's this just in case He doesn't. It's like, well, then you don't know God's going to take care of you. See, you're not on solid food. You're back on the bottle. And God doesn't want us there. Look here in 1 Peter 2, let me catch up where I'm at. Go to verse 13. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. We need to desire the word of God so that we can grow. Just like a baby desires the milk of its mother, we need to do the same when it comes to the word of God. Next verse. Did we miss one? 13 through 14. Verse 13 says this. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled. You see what the scriptures are telling us. If you are not diving deep into the Word of God, you're unskilled. And you know what unskilled people do? If you are unskilled in plumbing, you would never jump in and try to fix the plumbing in your house. If you're unskilled with repairs on your car, you're never going to be quick to jump in on your car and fix it. There's going to be trepidation or hesitation in this. And that's the way it is with the Word of God. If you're unskilled in the Word of righteousness, you're a babe. See, guys, I'm just trying to tell you, if we're going to grow and we're going to stand strong and you're willing to get out of your comfort zone, praise God that you stood last week and said, I'm willing to get out of my comfort zone. But if you're not willing to get into the Word of God, then getting out of your comfort zone is going to be incredibly difficult. And you're going to do it with fear and trepidation. And then the minute Satan raises his ugly head, you're going to run. And then you won't do it again. It's because you're unskilled in the Word. This. And I'm just telling you, if we're going to get there, guys, this is what we need. And we already found out we have a shepherd that is going to protect us and feed us and nourish us and everything that we need. But there's a part that comes on our side, and that is that we can't, listen, if we're in the flock, you can't keep running away. Because if you run away, here's what God's going to do. So back in that day, a shepherd, if they had a flock that would run away all the time, a sheep that would run away all the time, do you know what they would do? They would get that sheep and they would break his leg. They just snap it like a twig. And you're like, why would he do that? Because the idea is that you break his leg and then he'll carry him around while the leg heals. Building the relationship so that now this sheep knows his total dependent, his total dependency is on his shepherd. And so now while the sheep is mending, the shepherd is building relationships. So by the time it's done, that sheep will walk close to the shepherd and won't leave him now. Why? Well, because there's been such a relationship and it's been built and strengthened. And I'm just going to tell you, God says, get into my word, stop being unskilled. And if you do that, then we'll build this relationship where you'll walk so close to me, you won't run. And when the enemy comes, you'll get behind me because you know I'm in front of you and I got you, and you won't be scared and you won't abandon ship because you understand the relationship we have. We won't have the fear and we won't have the questioning and, well, God, I know God will do this, but, you know, I know God is able, but, and I know, and it's like, stop. My God is faithful. He's able to do all things. And through him, I can do all things. See, that's the difference in the relationship. You know, when we came here to start this church, I said, Lord, because I had not been here before. My wife and I, we had never been here before. And God called us here and he made it so clear. And I'm going to tell you, the fear in me was overwhelming. I have a wife. I have two children. I just sold a business in North Carolina to move to Missouri to go to Bible college and then build another business while I was in Bible college because I couldn't afford $10 an hour and go to school full time and work full time and family full time. So I started another business when I was in Missouri and I built it up to where I sold it and we moved out here. And I was just, I'm going to tell you, having never been here, don't know anybody here. Don't think for a minute that fear wasn't in my soul. But I stood up in the parking lot over at the Best Western off of exit 9 in Clifton Park. And I remember we got up that morning and we were heading out. We have just looked at the house that we live in now that we were going to buy. And so we were leaving there and then going to meet the realtor, sign the papers, and then head back to Missouri. And I remember standing out in the parking lot. And there was a tree there, and I just stood by the tree. My wife and kids were sitting in the car waiting on me. And I just kind of walked out of those sight a little bit, and I leaned against the tree, and I said, God, I'll move here. And I'm going to move my family, my children, my wife. And God, I don't know anybody here and I don't have a job here and I don't know anything about this, but God, I will go. I will go. Why would I do that? Because my love for God was greater than my fear of moving to New York and starting a church and being a pastor. Not because I was anything special, because the truth is, if I could have ran, I would have run. I would have ran far and long and as hard as I could, as fast as I could to get away from this. But my love for God, my wife's love for God, was to be obedient. And because we were mature in His Word, we have grown in it. We love Him. And so we loved His Word. And I've been teaching the Word of God for almost 31 years now. Or 431 years plus. And I dug in. And what did that do? It just reassured me of who my God is. And so then when God called me and my family to do this what seemed like an impossible task, it was possible because my God had me. And my God loves my family more than I do. And my God has just said, let's just go and I'll be there. I got you. And because that I knew the Word of God and I knew the promises of God, which meant I know God and He is my God and my Savior and my Father and my King and my Shepherd and my Lord. I said, okay, God, I surrender. And I ain't going to lie to you. It was in the flesh, it was overwhelming emotionally. But on the inside, I still had this peace that I couldn't explain. And I said, God, I just asked for three things. One, that I can always pay my bills because I never want to be an embarrassment to you, Lord. So that I could always pay my bills and that the church could always pay its bills because, Lord, we never want to be an embarrassment and an embarrassing testimony to you in society where they look at the church and go, oh, we got to wait on that. Oh, they can't take care of the pastor. I didn't want any of that. I wanted them to look and go, wow, look what God's doing. Wow, that's a faithful man that takes care of his bills. We can trust him. And I said, Lord, the second thing I wanted was, Lord, let me take my wife and children out to dinner once a week. Just supply the money so I can take them out to dinner once a week. We'll never be frivolous with our money. We're not going to go in debt. We came out here debt-free. We've been debt-free since 96. And I said, Lord, just give me the money to take my wife and kids out to eat once a week. I won't go to any place extravagant. I won't be frivolous. And God honored that. And then the third one was incredibly selfish on my part. I said, Lord, I just want great motorcycle roads to ride on. And He gave me that. And why could I trust Him? Because I knew the Word. And by knowing the Word, I know Him. And by knowing Him, I know His promises. And I know He tells us to go boldly, right? Go boldly. And then He says, I'll be there with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. All these promises that we have, but we miss the promises if we don't know our God. And if we don't know the Word of God, we don't know our God. And you go, I know our God. No, if you don't know the Word of God, you don't know God. I don't care what you think. I don't care how you feel. If you do not know the Word of God, you don't know God, period. And that's what Scripture says. As a matter of fact, you're unskilled, which means you don't know God. And so we got to get into the Word of God. And then 1 Peter 2:2, if you'll pull that up. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. And so if we're going to grow, if we're going to learn, if we're going to understand, then we have to do that. Do you have Hebrews 5:14 on there? Did I not give that to you? But Hebrews 5:14 says this. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so if we know the Word of God, that's that solid food, right? Belongs to those who are full age, who are mature, that is by reason, who have the ability to process and understand. Our senses are exercised to do what? To discern both good and evil. And it's what God puts in us. And all I'm telling you is when we know God, He prepares us. But we got to know the Word of God. Wow, that was only the first blessing. The second blessing, I only have 18 blessings, so hold on. I'm kidding, I do not. I do have four, so this might be a part two. The second blessing that comes from the Lord's leading is spiritual restoration. Look here in 23, the second part of verse 2, chapter 23, second part of verse 2 into 3. He leads me beside the still waters, and he restores my soul. When you look at those two things, because the still waters, that's bringing a calmness. And the waters that he's talking about is a refreshing water that does what? That restores us. I don't know if you've ever been really, really thirsty and you got a glass of really nice, cold, crisp spring water, not bottled water, but you know what I'm talking, like real out of God's green earth water. And you start drinking it. And it's so refreshing. Anybody ever been there? Everybody should have been there, right? It's so refreshing. Three people. Okay, God bless you. And you start drinking it. And while you're drinking, you're like, oh my goodness, this is so good. Oh my goodness. And then you stop and you go, oh no, I got to finish this. And you go back and it's like, this is so refreshing. It's so good. This is what he's talking about. That he leads me beside the still waters and he restores my soul. Some of you are struggling today. Some of you have made really bad decisions in the past, and you think God is done with you. Well, let me just tell you this. If you're a child of God, he's never done with you. And if you're not a child of God and you're here today, he's seeking after you. So either way, God's not done with you. You have what God wants. And you have abilities that God has given you, and you have direction that God wants you to go. And so you know what? You might have made some really poor decisions in the past, and you may have even made them yesterday. You may have made them this morning, but I'm going to tell you, God's promises are new every morning, every day. And so he restores my soul. God wants to restore you. Don't sell yourself short and don't throw God away thinking that you're too bad, because I can assure you of this. There's very few that have done worse things than I've done. And here I am today preaching the word of God. Why? Because God doesn't give up on us. And God answers prayer. My wife prayed for me. We were separated. We weren't even together. And yet she prayed for me and she prayed for me and she prayed for me. And God answered her prayer and moved in ways that brought me here. I'm just telling you, God restores my soul. He restores your soul. And he leads us in paths of righteousness. Man, don't cast God away because you're like, where is he? He's quiet. I don't hear him. Where is he? He's right there. He's just waiting on you to stay faithful. Here's the problem that we have. The problem that we have is because we have been programmed to be an instant society, right? Microwave society. Push a button, ding, 10 seconds later, full 10-course meal with iced tea all come out of the microwave. Yeah, that's me. That's what I want. And so we feel like if we say, God, help me, and then we don't see God helping us, then we're done. Okay, God, he's the blood, and we cast him away because he didn't answer, God, help me. Sometimes God waits for us to get serious. Because if God bails us out too early, we forget way too quick. If God waits too long, who knows what we'll do? But God's an on-time God. And God lets us go until we're broke enough that we're ready to be fixed by him. And so God may let us cry out for a month, a day, a week, a month, even a year. Because God realizes that that prayer you have is the only prayer that allows you to keep walking with him. And he doesn't deliver you from that problem. And he doesn't take that thorn away that, like Paul said, you know, take the thorn away. And God says, my grace is sufficient. And so God may allow us to walk through the fire for a little while. Why? Because we don't let go of his hand. And he's like, I got him. And you might not think he's doing anything, but God's doing this great work. And then one day you wake up and you're like, holy cow, I still got the same problem, but look who I am today. Because God's building you as he's walking with you. And he's leaving the problem there because that is what's keeping you looking to him. And so he's not going to take it away. He's going to use it to build us, to grow us, to mature us, to strengthen us, and then to send us out and use us. God knows what he's doing. See, we just want deliverance. And if we don't get it immediately, then we throw God away. We're like, I tried church. I tried Jesus. I tried God. No, you didn't. You just didn't get your own way and you abandoned ship. God may not take the thorn away like he didn't with Paul. And look how he used Paul. Look how Paul grew. And God told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. You hold on to me. You don't worry about that problem. You just keep moving forward with me. And that problem kept him focused on God. He restores my soul, and he leads us into the paths of righteousness. And then here's a really interesting point, and I'm going to stop here, and next week I'll pick up in the other 2 points. And I promise I won't make this a 3-week sermon. But I want you to notice something that's incredibly powerful, and I think we miss it if we're not paying attention. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is God's reputation on the line. Do you think God's going to drop the ball? Do you think God's going to fail anywhere? Do you think God is going to miss the mark? Do you think God is going to take his reputation and throw it aside just because of you or because of me? No, no, no. David says, God does all of this for his name's sake because he is God and he is immovable and he is there and he restores us and he feeds us and he waters us and he nurtures us and he helps us get our rest. He helps us to grow and to mature and understand so we can process good and evil and that we can walk through this life godly and that we can celebrate him in front of anyone, everyone. Because we have such a relationship with him that he is our God. Jesus is our Savior and our God. The Holy Spirit leads us and guides us and directs us and teaches us and builds us. And so it doesn't matter what fire comes our way. We're now firefighters with no fear. But if you don't get into the Word of God, you won't know God. And you'll live in fear and anxiety. And you'll take meds. And you'll take these antidepressants. And you'll take all these things that the world gives you. When it's all right there in a relationship with Jesus. Everything we need is right there. Everything we desire is right there. That's why he says, cast all your cares upon me. Because I care for you. If you're living in anxiety and you're taking medication for depression, anxiety, whatever else is all going on out there and that society says that you need pills for because you can't do this on your own, that is your first clue that you're not walking close enough with Jesus. That's your first clue. I'm not trying to insult you. I'm not trying to judge you. I'm just simply telling you that God says, cast all your cares upon me. God says, listen, you're unskilled, which means what? You're timid. You're fearful. And you can be intimidated because you don't know. You know how many people are like, Pastor, I don't share the word of God. And I already know why, but I don't say anything. I ask the question, well, why not? Because I don't know it. So I'll just send them to you. Hey, George, I got a great idea. How about you read the Bible, learn for yourself, and witness to them? Because pastor's not always going to be there when the divine appointment happens between you and someone else. God wants to use you. So you got to know the word. You want off of anxiety medicine? Know the word. You want off of antidepressants? Know the word. You want to get your life right? Know the word. You want clear direction? Know the word. You want comfort in a world of chaos? Know the word. You want strength and food and fuel and direction when everything seems to be crazy? Know the word. When the world's falling apart, real Christians aren't. And then if you look, you'll see their Bibles are falling apart. And they're not. It's here. It is here. It's here. And not just, I mean, consume it. How many times have we read where they're like, the prophets would say, I prefer the word of God over food. Man, when we get there, that's when our life changes. That's when we're bold as lions, when we can knock down mountains. That's when we can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it'll move. But until you know the word of God, you're not going to believe God, and you're going to struggle and struggle and struggle, and I promise you, you won't be bold for God. Know the word so you know your God, you know your Savior, and you trust Him. And then you'll jump off a mountain knowing that He'll catch you. Figuratively speaking, nobody go jump off a mountain. I don't want somebody to sue me. Pastor told him to go jump, and he did. Well, now you're walking with Jesus. Amen. But you understand what I'm saying. You got to know the word to know God. And then once you know God, you trust Him. And when you trust Him, everything changes. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank You for this day. Father, thank You for Your word. Lord, thank You. Thank You for giving us everything we need. For taking care of us the way You do, for strengthening us, for restoring our soul. Father, as we seek Your face, I pray, Lord, that You would just open up doors and put people in amazement of what they've learned from seeking Your face and chasing after You. And then, Father, as we grow and learn and mature and build one another and help one another and love on one another and lift one another up, Father, to help each and every one of us draw closer to You, Father, I pray that You would use us. And that, Lord, truly for those who have raised their hand that last week when they wanted to go out and be bold and out of their comfort zone for You, Father, that they do that now because they're growing. Father, for those who didn't raise their hand last week, to be out of their comfort zone, Father, that they start reading Your word and seeking Your face. And then, Father, before they know it, they're chasing after You as well, Father, and they're ready to fight the fire and win the souls. But Lord, we need You. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you're not going to heaven, and you can't be bold for a God that you don't know. And so the Bible says that if you put all of your faith in Jesus Christ as your shepherd, as your Lord, then we're saved. For by faith, we are saved. Faith comes by hearing the word. So our faith grows through the word. If you're here today and you're ready to give your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then I want you to pray a prayer. Understand that the words that you're going to pray, that's not what saves you. It's, did you put all your faith in Jesus Christ, believing in Him and Him alone to get you to heaven? And you believe He was born of a virgin. You believe He died on the cross. You believe He conquered the grave. You believe He's at the right hand of the Father. And so today you are ready to surrender all and give Him your life for the first time and make Him your Lord and Savior. That's what you believe, and that belief is what gets you saved. The prayer that I'm going to ask you to pray just gives you a timestamp confirming your belief. And so if you're here and you've already put your faith in Jesus and you want to pray this prayer with me, you pray it quietly to yourself. Father, today I have surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. I believe that he is the Savior of the world. And it was through his shed blood and his shed blood only can we get to heaven. And today I admit I am a sinner and I have done a lot of wrong. But I ask that you forgive me of all that. And today I'm making a commitment to repent, to turn from my ways and to live unto your ways. And I understand that by dying to myself and putting my faith in Jesus Christ, that I get the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, I will have the ability to learn and grow because he will teach me. Today, I die to myself and live unto you, Jesus, knowing that you are my Lord and Savior, because with all of my heart, I have surrendered to you. With all of my heart, I believe. If you're here today,